Saints, many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to prepare your people for the things that are coming upon the world here. And we ask for your grace and your wisdom, your discernment, that your spirit will speak to your own. We thank you for your Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, who inoculates us from the curses that are coming upon the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you will be with your people in bold faith, that they may show forth your power and your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm going to take up where I left off on how to immunize from plagues and pestilence. This will be number 3. First of all, I'd like to say I believe there's coming a recognition of the pandemic. The government now realizes that we've been warning for 2.5 years here, and they're realizing this now, that this is happening. I'm going to share pieces of a few articles before I share some word with you. This first article is saying that they are only catching 25% of the people affected in this country. I think that is totally overblown. They say they're expecting thousands, but the truth is millions. And by the end of the first week of March, I believe the U.S. will be in pandemic trouble. And they're always going to play it down, but we have to be sure we're with the Lord on this. Okay, here's the Pentagon orders NORTHCOM to prepare for coronavirus pandemic. As fears mount that China cannot stop it from spreading around the world, of course we've known this for quite a while now, you know, so no, it's not their job to stop it now. It's beyond them. But now the president and the Pentagon are assured that we're headed for a pandemic. Okay. This was natural news and the best indicator yet that the U.S. government is growing concerned that the Chinese government is incapable of containing the spread of the coronavirus beyond its borders. We're way beyond that, you know. The Pentagon is ordering its various domestic commands to prepare for a pandemic. Okay. As reported by the Military Times, U.S. Northern Command, NORTHCOM, is currently executing plans to prepare for a wide outbreak of the virus. In large part of taking stock of available resources that would be called into action should a pandemic occur. The site noted that an executive order issued by the Joint Staff and approved by the Defense Secretary Mark Esper this month directed Northern Command and Geographic Combatant Commanders to initiate pandemic plans, which include ordering commanders to prepare for widespread outbreaks and confining service members with a history of travel to China. The order was distributed via service-wide messages to the Navy and Marine Corps, issued Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively. They reference the order, which directs NORTHCOM to begin implementing the Department of Defense Global Campaign Plan for Pandemic Influenza and Infectious Diseases, 3551-13. This is the military's plan for dealing with widespread influenza and other diseases like coronavirus. The Pentagon attempted to downplay the issuance of the executive order, stating that in no way does the planning indicate a greater likelihood of an event developing. As military professionals, planning for a range of contingencies is something we owe the American people, Navy Lieutenant Commander Mike Hatfield said. The military profession fosters a culture of planning, and the fact that we are coordinating planning efforts across the geographical combatant commands is consistent with how we prepare to respond if directed, Hatfield continued. I think we need to be prepared. Well, I've shared with you since the last 2.5 years how the Lord showed us that this was going to come from the air. I believe that they waited, of course, until it naturally came into the country by a few people here and there and so on, and then they sprayed. We asked the Lord, and we got a confirmation of that they did spray this, probably from the chemtrail planes. And so you'll find it, the crop would be, you know, from probably, or the, let me say, the symptoms of the crop will be showing up from 14 days to 24 days, they say now. So, yes, they're getting ready for something. He said, I think we need to be prepared, perhaps. But then, as USA Features News report, a series of experts told a Senate committee on Wednesday that they believe the U.S. should begin preparing now for a nationwide epidemic they believe is coming. Public health experts said during congressional testimony on Wednesday, the United States should be preparing for thousands of new coronavirus cases rather than believing that only a couple will emerge. Asha George, executive director of the Bipartisan Commission on Biodefense, told the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, I don't think we should be planning for the onesie twosie cases that we've been seeing thus far in the United States. Nope, it's a geometric progression, and it grows exponentially. I mean, every person they say contacts 3 or 4 people, but that could be totally wrong. They could pass it on to 20. Have no idea. It depends on who they are and how much they are in front of the public, I guess. But this disease spreads so quickly and in so many different matters, ways, including through the air, that it can't be stopped by anything they do at any airport. He said, we have to plan for the possibility that we have thousands of cases. She added, you better plan for a lot more than that. George was one of 5 health expert senators called to testify about the potential spread of the virus, officially called COVID-19. The hearing came as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta identified the 14th U.S. victim. Scott Gottlieb, a former Food and Drug Administration commissioner, told the panel he expects an outbreak to reveal itself across the United States in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Yep, that's true. That's the truth. We should be leaning in very aggressively to try to broaden diagnostic screening right now, particularly in communities where there is a lot of immigration, where these efforts could emerge to identify them early enough, that they will be small enough that we can intervene to prevent some epidemic spread in this country, he noted. Notice the immigration. The cities that have invited the immigration in, you know, the sanctuary cities, the very liberal sanctuary cities, plus the West Coast, are probably going to get hit the hardest. And this is what the Lord told us. He told us that the faction against the government, which now is a deep state faction against the government, was going to get hit by this. And not only that, he was going to use it against apostate Christianity to bring down false and evil leaderships. He's going to use it to take down the wicked, as the Bible says, you know, in Psalm 91. We'll get to that a little later. One of the biggest fears among U.S. military leaders and government health experts is the slow incubation period of the virus. Experts note that because it takes several days before symptoms can appear, people can be admitted to the country before anyone realizes they are stricken with the disease. Yes, and they're sneaking them in, still sneaking them in to sanctuary cities. These liberal governments disobeying the Constitution, disobeying everything because they're lawless. And they're going to bring destruction to their communities. Majorly. Some of the modeling out of the UK suggests that we're capturing about 25% of the cases at best. So for every case we identify, there's three or four that we didn't identify. I bet it's much more than that. A former director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Julie Gerberding, told the Senate committee, because health officials were initially able to control the spread of the virus, I think we need to be prepared for what we are going to do to try to slow down the spread. She said unable to control the spread of the virus. Okay, so what do we do? That's what she's saying. What do we do? We're unable to control it. They're not going to control it. If God doesn't control it, it's not going to be controlled. Universal vaccine and U.S. military preps to pull trigger on quarantines. Now, that's a video, so I'm not going to share anything, but it'll be here if you need it, if you want to read it, okay. Moving on, I'm going to look at another one here. U.S. military pandemic plans activated. Nation must prepare for thousands of cases of the coronavirus to arrive, warns biowarfare expert. Over the last 2 weeks, I have repeatedly warned, let's see, this is Mike Adams, that the NCOV coronavirus strain is right now being harvested by enemies of America, North Korea, Iran, China, etc., and readied for deployment as a weapon system against the United States of America. Well, because it's so easy to pick up now, all you need is a dead body, and you can pick it up. And any enemy out there can do that. And as you know, this is called the poor man's nuclear weapon. It's something you can do on the sly. It's hard to nuke anybody without everybody knowing who done it, and then you have a war, and then you get the nukes back, okay? But it's not so with this. They don't know who did it, or if they did it by accident, or if they did it on purpose, or you see, there's so many ways to deceive with this particular method. And of course, the generals of China have spoken since 2005 that their plan to take down America is not with nuclear weapons, because then they would be retaliated upon. It would be with biologicals. They've said it openly and plainly, and it's out there on the internet now. So until today, I seem to have been the only person in the world who dared point out the obvious. Yes, it is obvious. Enemies can pick these. They don't have to go through all the trouble the CDC had to go through to make this, you know, or the WHO and was also involved in it. So they don't have to go through all that trouble anymore or all that expense. They can go out there and pick it up off of a body and regrow it. But now the executive director of the Bipartisan Commission of Biodefense, speaking at a Senate Home Security Committee just yesterday, confirmed this obvious point, saying we have to plan for the possibility that we have thousands of cases. His name is Asher George, and he was one of the five experts who testified before the U.S. Senate, reports the Epoch Times. Another expert was former FDA Director Scott Gottlieb, who warned that unrestrained immigration would bring the virus to America. Well, we've had that. We tried to put a stop to that. has somewhat done that, but the liberals and the deep state people are only interested in bringing these people in here for their own purposes. Because they know who they're going to vote for, right? For one thing. We should be leaning in very aggressively to try to broaden diagnostic screening right now, particularly in communities where there is a lot of immigration, where these efforts could emerge to identify them early enough that they'll be small enough that we can intervene to prevent more epidemic spread in this country. Now, we're going to get away from this in just a minute here, so just bear with me. Gottlieb also added that because the virus spread during its asymptomatic incubation phase, airport screening is only catching 1 out of every 4 infections. Well, I doubt that that's true. I mean, because now they've said it's not 14 days, it's 24 days and before symptoms show. So you've got all those people coming into the country. How can it be 1 in 4? So, and there's no way to stop them. They don't recognize them until they see the symptoms. So it goes on to say, this means airport screening, just as we have repeatedly warned here, is largely just security theater. Yes, that's right. It's exactly so. And then there's a video here, our coronavirus pandemic, start to think beyond containment. Exactly. Because it's not, it has never been contained since it was released. It's never been contained. And there's actually no way. It was designed not to be contained. And there's no way to contain it. And if you lock up a bunch of sick people with a bunch of healthy people, what's going to happen is just what happens on these yachts. You know, they all get sick. U.S. Military Northern Command issues executive order to prepare the military for a global coronavirus pandemic. A global coronavirus pandemic. In addition to various U.S. officials warning the Senate about the coming wave of coronavirus infections, the United States Military Northern Command just issued an executive order. I already told you about that. The plans include ordering commanders to prepare for widespread outbreaks and confining service members with a history of travel to China, reports Military Times. The Navy and Marine Corps messages issued Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively, reference an executive order directing U.S. Northern Command to implement the Department of Defense campaign plan for pandemic influenza and infectious diseases. Here's a video here. It's called China Would Not Shutter Factories If Coronavirus Mortality Was Only 2%. No, they wouldn't. And we've watched the pictures of pits being dug around China, being filled with bodies, burning the bodies, and then covering them up. Fires. You can see from one fire to the next, the smoke rising. CO3 being spotted from space in a very high density right there where they're burning bodies, and that's what burning bodies does, is put off CO3. So 2% is ridiculous. And, of course, China, you know, they believe in lying. They've always lied about anything. If they thought it was an advantage, they would. But it says here, China just essentially declared military martial law and activated a full military response against the coronavirus pandemic. Making things even more interesting, China's CDC just issued a series of military orders that essentially place the entire nation under military martial law. The whole nation of China. Detailed in this executive order released by the Chinese government, China's new wartime declaration calls on biological weapons laboratories in China to be to put an end to pathogenic samples being stolen, leaked, or lost. Well, that's a good way to say it's not our fault if it hits you, you know. That's how they do it. Stop them from leaking, okay? So somebody's stealing it from them, although it was them that stole it from Canada. All right, they stole it. And it might have been a setup. You know, like I've said before, the deep state is in China just like it's in the United States. And they do things that necessarily their leadership doesn't know about. And they're into killing people. They're into lowering the population of planet Earth. That's one of their things. I'll share something on that in just a few minutes. Much of China's declaration centers around wartime commands that demand absolute loyalty and zero errors in logistics and control of local regions. Here's a rough translation from one of the directives. Directive 5. The current situation of epidemic prevention and control is extremely serious. The responsibility of prevention and control is heavier than that of Mount Tai. With the coming battle, all party branches should think and launch, unite the masses, and commit fully to the role of battle fortress. Caterers at all levels should lead by example, dare to take on the role, and give full commitment to the leading role. And each party member should rush forward, shoulder the heavy burden, and give full commitment to the role of pioneer and model. All party branches and caterers of all levels should earnestly fulfill their main responsibility, and the disciplinary committee shall fulfill its supervisory responsibilities to ensure the smooth flow of decrees and the prohibition of the operation. And the article goes on to say, if you can make any sense of that, you might fit in well with the communist society, which at its core is rooted in total insanity and delusion. In fact, the very structure of communism makes society highly vulnerable to pandemics, since no truth tellers are allowed to warn anyone about the outbreak. Censorship gets people killed, both in communist China and in the USA, where the evil tech giants are also complicit in covering up the truth about the coronavirus pandemic. And here's another video here. Coronavirus infections explode by 33% in one day. Exponentially it grows. And it's a geometric progression. It explodes. Explode is the right word there. It explodes. Bottom line, governments of the world know this is going global, and they are activating their military forces to prepare for anything. And don't think that they won't be forced into doing the exact same thing that the Chinese have done. They don't recognize any other way to try to stop this than drastic means, including killing off all of the animals that they live by, that they eat. I mean, if they do survive the coronavirus whoever survives the coronavirus is going to be faced with starvation. So, and even if it's vegetables, it doesn't make any difference. Whoever handles it is able to pass it on. And an awful lot of food comes into the United States from China. So, as is now becoming rather obvious, the coronavirus pandemic is going global. Every nation that's paying attention is ordering its military to activate pandemic readiness measures. U.S. military commanders and national defense experts are already well aware that the coronavirus will inevitably be deployed against the United States of America as a biological weapon. It's been done. It's already been done. They've already sprayed it. They've already brought it into the country. They are also aware that deliberate contamination efforts cannot be stopped in any way whatsoever. There you go. I'll say that again. Deliberate contamination efforts cannot be stopped in any way whatsoever. There's only one one who can do anything about this. It's God. And they haven't exhorted anybody yet to go and pray. Nobody's even stood up in front of the nation to say, go and pray. Okay. There is no defense against an infected person covertly entering the United States and walking around a city, infecting public surfaces and shared air in public transport vessels such as trains or subways. This means America will almost certainly find itself in a rapidly worsening pandemic situation in the coming months. And medical martial law will no doubt be declared in the USA as well. Expect full-blown quarantines, gunpoint arrests of suspected carriers, the complete revocation of all civil rights, including the Second Amendment, if they get away with it, and mandatory coronavirus vaccines once commercial availability is met. Yeah, you heard that, doing away with the Second Amendment. If they have to, they will do it. They don't trust God, obviously. We do. We must. We must. It's the only defense. There are so many ways that this thing can come at you that you can only trust in God. And God does declare that He has absolute authority over this disease. We'll get to that in a minute. In other words, America will sooner or later be turned into a medical police state, and everybody at the highest levels of the government, the CDC, and the military is already fully aware of this. Just like in China, quarantine death camps will be called hospitals too. It's true. I mean, if you don't have anything to cure the person with, you know, you're bringing them there to die, and they know that. No one in a position of power will admit the truth because the public can't handle the truth. As all this is unfolding at the highest levels, the public is being kept in the dark so that they don't panic by learning the truth. We're basically in a situation where a metaphorical 100-mile-wide asteroid is plunging towards New York City at a relative velocity of 10,000 miles a second, and the impact is triple confirmed by nobody in the government who wants to alarm the public, since it's pointless to warn people about an event of such magnitude that would be a planetary extinction event anyway. So that's kind of the thinking here. Why stir them up? It'll just make us more trouble and make it harder for us to rule, you know. The coronavirus won't cause mass extinction, but it could very easily cause devastating, even catastrophic disruptions to human-driven economies, resulting in waves of death, chaos, and instability that threaten the very existence of ruling governments. Once the full impact, I don't doubt that it's a possibility that China, you know, may throw off communism as it is, and their government too. Watch and see. But once the full impact of the virus becomes realized, today's delusional stock market bubble will absolutely implode, and that's a result the Trump administration doesn't want to see happen, at least not before the election. And they have plans to deal with that too. I can tell you they are prepared for that. They're going to infuse a bunch of money into the market as they change the whole economic system behind the scenes. Go back to the gold standard, et cetera, et cetera. So they planned on this. Some people don't know about those plans, but they have. They're ready to do this. This is actually playing into their ability to be able to do something because of a disaster. Things are about to get very interesting. In other words, plus it's an election year, and that's when the party in power wants to project the illusion that everything's awesome. Yes. And of course, the socialists are wanting to give everything away. In the situation we're in, with the economy being threatened, they still want to give everything away. Even if they don't have it, they want to give it away. But that's just a ploy to get elected. Truth be told, everything isn't awesome. In fact, it's downright apocalyptic to anyone who can do the math and see where this is going. Just remember, we told you first. Now everybody else in the establishment media is catching up, as usual. If you want to stay ahead of the sheeple, read naturalnews.com, it says. Okay, enough of that. I'm going to go once more. Let's see. Okay, here's one from Pandemic News. It's more Chinese lockdown than entire U.S. population. And let me say that we're just a month to 6 weeks behind them. That's all. $400 million people in over 60 cities. Actually, I've heard that it's 80 cities now, are locked down. In fact, martial law is complete across China. Most people are probably aware of the fact that the communist China is home to far more people than the United States. But did you know also that there are now more people under mandatory lockdown in China due to novel coronavirus than there are people currently living in America today? According to reports, the recent expansion of the coronavirus quarantine to Guangzhou has brought the total number of Chinese people living under communist martial law to about 400 million. So that's been superseded. The whole country's under martial law now. The current U.S. population, on the other hand, is just under 330 million. As for the current infection rate, the numbers are all over the map, if you believe the official numbers. There are now more than 45,000 confirmed cases of novel coronavirus, with more than 1,100 deaths. And if you believe the conspiracy numbers, it could be more like 154,000 infected and 25,000 dead. No, I don't believe either one of those, actually. I mean, I've looked at the videos of the underground body bags stacked up to the ceiling, bulldozers pushing them into a pit. This is humans now. Now, they did it with the pigs, too, you know, and other animals, but they're doing it with the humans. And they're starting fires all over the place to burn up human bodies. So if you believe this, it's just a fairy tale. Regardless, the Chinese economy and the supply chains it supports are quickly coming to a halt due to this global emergency. With the recent end of the Chinese Lunar New Year, Chinese companies should have opened back up for business, except many of them couldn't because Wuhan coronavirus threw a wrench in their plans. Hyundai, Kia, and several other major car manufacturers have had their production disrupted in China, as parts manufacturers were unable to enlist their employees back to work due to mandatory government quarantines or death. They left that out. The multiple cruise liners are also facing serious problems docking at Asian ports, not to mention multiple reports of hundreds of people falling ill while traveling on cruise ships. Yeah, it was 300 and something on one of the ships. Since everything is interconnected in our new globalist reality, the coronavirus crisis is sure to eventually hit the American economy as well. Yes, it can't help but do it. Listen below as Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, talks about what will happen once the stock market delusion collides with the reality of this global pandemic. Yeah. Okay. again, I tell you that they have something waiting in the wings that they will use to give the economy in the United States a real shot in the arm. And I can't talk too much about it, but I can tell you it's there, and they're going to do something. Chinese President Xi orders firms to increase output even as 400 million Chinese are under mandatory government lockdown. And, of course, he's hiding. Nobody's seen him. Beijing is, under lockdown itself, and he's hiding. And it's been rumored, I don't know if there's any truth to it or not, that there is a possible overthrow of his government coming. That may be why he's in hiding. Don't know. We'll find out the truth one day, maybe. The crisis is surely being felt in Beijing, where a total lockdown has led to a demand collapse and supply chain shutdown, according to Rabobank's Michael Every, who added that the impact is just too much to bear for Communist China. It is. The only way... Communist China would be nothing without the rest of the world wanting their cheap labor. Once that's gone, they've got nothing. I mean, communism doesn't work. Everybody who knows history knows communism and socialism does not work, okay? So the only thing propping China up is their cheap labor. And these people work like slaves. And the article goes on, at the same time, Chinese President Xi Jinping has decreed that China will somehow meet its economic goals while simultaneously winning the battle against novel coronavirus. And this is all going to happen as Beijing and other Chinese cities and provinces remain closed for business due to mandatory quarantine measures. Doesn't sound likely, does it? This type of double talk is quintessential for China and for the United States, if we're really honest with ourselves. Every says China has a freely floating controlled currency, which we also do as well. Market determined, state directed interest rates, which again we also do. Let me point out to you, there was a video of a guy in a high rise making airplanes out of his bills and throwing them out the window. And another person on the ground taking pictures of the little planes flying around in the wind and coming down and nobody even picking them up. You know why? Because their money has a poison on it. It's diseased. So... Not only is it no good because our economy has crashed, it's no good because you don't want to pass it around hand to hand, and they're not doing that. Oh, so the government lockdown is on their money, too. What kind of an economy can you have? Things are going to get nasty for economies and markets, especially with official WHO, World Health Organization, that a vaccine is 18 months away, he further adds. They can't predict that. Now, they did have, according to an expert in the field, which I might quote a little bit from him in a few minutes, they did have a vaccine for the original disease, which was created here in the United States. And before it went to Canada, I don't know how it got to Canada. I don't know whether it was, a share and share alike thing. I don't know. Then they monkeyed with it. And then, of course, it went to the Chinese and they monkeyed with it. And so they don't have anything to use against it. Plus, it is morphing from person to person instead of taking a few months to change, it morphs from person to person. So you just can't make a vaccine for something like that when it changes day by day. For one Chinese company known as Suzhou that tried to reopen after the Chinese Lunar New Year came to a close. A new case of novel coronavirus was almost immediately detected. The result was that all 200-plus employees at the company were not allowed to return home and were immediately placed under mandatory quarantine. So you see, if they go to work, they end up getting quarantined away from their families. So how are they going to go back to work? If, for some reason, during the summer months, the heat backs this thing down a little bit until fall, which when it'll start back up, most likely, that's the first kind of a break that they could possibly get, I think. But it's not going to stop by any quarantine. That's stopped none of it so far. This being the current state of China's economy, soon to be felt by the rest of the world as the virus continues to take its devastating toll. Okay. So let me go back. Okay. This is a video, so I'm not going to share much of it with you, but this is a bioweapons expert, Dr. Francis A. Boyle, says that coronavirus is absolutely terrible, worse than the Spanish flu. He's an expert. He knows. He knows about who's behind all of this stuff. He said you can't trust the CDC. You can't trust the WHO. You cannot trust any of them because even their vaccine people are the ones that create the bioweapons. So anyway, I'm going to go on beyond that, but the link to this video, which is very interesting, and he tells you, you know, about basically what's going on. Okay, here's one of the immediate countries involved. Vietnam imposes first mass quarantine outside of China. 10,000 residents on lockdown. Remember, China, they locked down one city. And before very much longer, it was 10 cities. And then before that, it was much higher. And so it just, like I said, a geometric progression. It can't be stopped. This is by Ethan Huff. COVID-19, as they now call it, also known as Wuhan coronavirus, is spreading so quickly into nearby Vietnam that the Southeast Asian country has now implemented its own mandatory quarantine, the first outside of China. Roughly 10,000 people living near Hanoi, Vietnam's capital, are reportedly under a government-imposed lockdown after 6 new cases of the coronavirus were identified in the Son Loi commune, located roughly 25 miles outside of the Hanoi city center. This is really dealing roughly with communism. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to deal roughly with communism in the United States, because God's behind this. This new global currency reset thing is, I believe they're saying that they really did not want communism involved in it. And it seems like the Lord's pretty much in agreement with that. Anyway, we'll see how it survives this. I want to tell you this. I'm not talking about the doing away with communism. I believe during the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the communists, whether they call themselves that or not, are going to have gulags across America, and they're going to be killing Christians. And that'll be around the world, too, by the way. There's an agreement on that around the world. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. Okay, as of February 13th, 2020, we will urgently implement the task of isolation and quarantine of the epidemic area in Son Loi Commune, reads an official statement from Vietnam's health ministry. The timeline is for 20 days. 20 days is certainly better than the 14-day quarantines being implemented here in the United States, seeing as how new evidence shows that the coronavirus can incubate for as long as 24 days. At the same time, 20 days still isn't enough to ensure no further spread of the disease. And why is that? Because people who think that they get over the disease, kind of like getting over the flu, think it's over, and they come down with worse the next time. In other words, it hits them again. And let me say, too, some of these people who get hit again are dying of heart attacks because of the drugs that they're putting in them the first time. It's destroying their hearts. After a sixth case of the coronavirus was recently identified at San Loy, following five earlier cases, authorities decided to set up checkpoints in Bin Xuyen, I don't know how to pronounce that, a district located in the outskirts of San Loy. And there, health workers wearing protective suits are spraying disinfectant daily on vehicles as they pass in and out of the area. Well, on vehicles? I don't see how that's going to help. Life has been badly affected, stated a local resident, Tran Van Min, to AFP, adding that even before this quarantine was set up, authorities were going around warning locals to avoid large gatherings. Now we cannot get out, or even if we do, clients don't welcome us that much as before. It's obviously time to start rethinking beyond containment, seeing as how the coronavirus has now gained a foothold well outside of China borders. To learn more about how to protect yourself and your family, well, I don't go that way, because that's not really going to do it, honestly. Vietnamese province, now under lockdown, is home to factories owned by Honda and Toyota. Yeah. At the turn of the month, Vietnam issued travel bans on all flights to and from mainland China, as well as suspended all new tourist visas for Chinese nationals and foreigners who visited China within the past 2 weeks. They're going through doing the exact same thing, you know, as everybody else is doing. And it's probably going to have the exact same result. So, okay, now here's an interesting thing that I don't think everybody understands or agrees with, but it's the facts. And this article is about the coronavirus archives all the top priorities of the globalists: depopulation, authoritarian government, and elimination of the elderly who no longer contribute tax money. Yeah, that's another one from Natural News. If the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic began from an accidental release, it surely was a happy accident for the globalists. Everything the pandemic is achieving just happens to perfectly fit the top priorities of the globalist agenda. Consider the following. The coronavirus pandemic is currently on track to infect 60% to 80% of the world population. Did you hear that? And kill up to 15% of those infected. And, of course, the Chinese are saying, no, it's 17%. They're admitting 17%. What's the truth? According to an increasing number of doctors and scientists, conservatively, this could kill up to half a billion people. Half a billion people. That's 500 million people. Which would go a long way toward accomplishing the globalist goals of depopulation. Yes, Bill Gates was a eugenicist, and he supported the company who made this virus first here in the United States. Yeah. And then after it started killing off an awful lot of people, he offered $100 million, which is a drop in his $100 billion bucket, I think, to help with the problem that he started. And of course, this is the deep state's thing. You know, this is what they want to do. They're making these things around the world. All the governments of the world are going broke, covering entitlement payments for retired workers such as Medicare, pensions, Social Security, etc. Killing off the elderly helps governments stay functionally solvent while they continue to operate on debt. No government has any use for a citizen after they stop paying taxes and retire. Note carefully that this virus tends to kill the elderly while leaving working-age citizens alive. I'm not sure that's correct anymore. I think that they have discovered it pretty much hits the middle-aged and younger people, too. We'll see, I guess. So they can continue to run factories, pay taxes, and fund the tax plantations that fiscally feed governments. The pandemic allows governments to declare medical martial law with gunpoint-enforced quarantines, mandatory vaccinations, and government kidnapping of children from parents who refuse to go along with the medical tyranny. It's a dream come true for the CDC and the vaccine industry. Simultaneously, the pandemic also allows big tech to justify total censorship and deplatforming of anti-vaxxers, who will, of course, be immediately blamed for every infection and every death as soon as a commercial vaccine is available. And, of course, we know the facts, we've studied them, and we've seen that even schools that are totally 100% vaccinated can break out with the same thing they've been vaccinated for and wipe them out. That just tells you just one thing. That is, the vaccine is spreading the disease. The economic collapse that's now inevitable from the pandemic's effects on the global supply chain will cover up all the counterfeit money printing by the central banks and shift blame for the economic collapse to the virus instead of failed monetary policy. Yes, the government economy was already headed for a cascading debt collapse apocalypse, but now the governments can claim the virus did it. This is what I'm saying that they have prepared for, this cascading debt collapse. They planned it. They planned it. I'm talking about Trump and the Patriots. Planned it to bring down the economic system now that feeds the elite and the warrior class. You know, they planned it to bring down that economy while they brought up their new economy. And I'm in favor of the new economy. I just know that it's ultimately going to lead to the mark of the beast. And the global currency reset, you know, and the revaluation of currencies to bring them all up onto a par is for one reason. They want to digitize the system. And that's, of course, heading us on the way to the mark of the beast. But there will be a temporary advantage to the people, of course, who are receiving funds from this situation in order to help other people. But it will be short-lived. We will get a short time of respite from the deep state. If they can get the virus to spread quickly enough, globalists might even be able to crash the U.S. economy in time to defeat Trump's re-election in November. I don't think so. Removing a key enemy of the globalists and possibly even installing Hillary Clinton as vice president, she's rumored to be the running mate of Bloomberg. Well, I don't know if I believe any of this, but I will tell you, like, if you didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, you could think that this could happen. I believe that America can take this hit, and what they're getting ready to do in changing the economy is going to make a big difference. It's going to save. As a matter of fact, could you imagine this same problem coming while Obama was in control of the nation? Who does Obama want to kill? Why did he invade the country with Islam? to kill off Christianity. Can you imagine if he was still in place? Now, a lot of the people who support Trump understand this. They'll be very happy, even if the economy crashes, that he's in control and not Obama and the crazies that are running the Democratic Party. So I don't know if I go quite along with this. I'm not leaning that way at all. So we can see that the coronavirus achieves top goals for the globalists. But I don't doubt that God's people can do something in all of this and show people the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of God to save and heal and deliver, and the power of Jesus Christ to take upon himself the curse for those who believe in him. Okay. Now, what do I get from all of this? I suggest that you get non-perishable food and also water in your houses. The stores will be emptied quickly, kind of like it was in China. I suggest you pray and call upon the Lord for his help and take the 7 steps to God's vaccine that I've shared in this series. They're very simple steps. They'll put faith in your heart, plus all the materials we put, linked on this for like God's Vaccine, a book that we just finished. These will be very helpful in putting faith in your heart and boldness in your heart to resist this thing the only way it can be resisted, in God. Listen to this. Just received this yesterday. Julie Tighe, who lives on the, I call it the left coast now, instead of the west coast, which I believe is in for a totally big spanking, and I believe Julie's dream is saying this. We called it a plague brings extreme food shortage. As historically we know is true. So Julie had this on the 11th of this February, 2020. And I believe Julie represents in this dream the righteous Christians and possibly the bride. Because we know the bride is going to be safe in the king's house. Okay. And I believe that that's going to happen very, very quickly, very soon. In fact, the bride is going to be used to be a blessing to this world in the midst of all of this. I'll tell you something else I believe. I believe that what the Lord has told us is happening in America is also happening in China. There are devoted Christians in China. Some of them are even deeper into Christianity than a lot of people in this country, more holy, and they're going to shine. And, of course, none of that will reach the news media, but people will see it. They're going to shine. They're going to be blessed through this and beyond this. And so in America, too. God is, as I said, delivering people from bondage who want to follow him. He is delivering them. He is taking down people who are holding his people in bondage, much like the Egyptians. You know how he took the Egyptians down, and you know how Pharaoh planned to bring down the people who were leaving Egypt. Are you leaving Egypt? You should be. He planned to take down the people who were leaving Egypt, and instead he got taken down. And I want to tell you, that's going to happen. So I believe Julie represents at least the righteous Christians and possibly and maybe probably the bride. She said, in this dream, I was in some sort of a very dark, woodsy place and on a dirt path. And she puts in parenthesis, a path of darkness and death. I could only see the path and what was alongside it. Shrubs, grass, and a tree, branches. And she puts in parenthesis, flesh in the world. You know, all flesh is as grass, right? I felt like I was moving very fast. And my thought is that what is on our path will appear very quickly. People don't know how fast they got caught unawares in China. Don't you be caught unawares with what is coming. Get prepared spiritually and physically. And it seemed like I was low to the ground. I may have been walking, but my view was like I was close to the ground, flying low to the ground. Speaking out of the dust, as Isaiah spoke. And he was talking about his people who had been humbled through the persecutions and troubles of the peoples brought around them, brought upon them, how they were humbled. And I believe this speaking out of the dust, quoting what Isaiah said, is what this is speaking about, a humbling for the body of Christ. There is parts of the body of Christ, including the bride, that doesn't need a humbling. They're already humbled, but there is an awful lot of the body of Christ who is walking arrogantly and totally against their law, the Word of God. And they don't know it. In some cases, they haven't bothered to look. They just are blindly following a totally apostate system, which God is going to destroy. They will be humbled, but they will be looking for truth. And that's good. As I was moving, I saw what could have been a white paper, like that of discarded wrapping paper from a food item, and something else I did not recognize laying alongside the path. I believe this is talking about running out of food. You know, there's no commercial places that are going to last in this atmosphere. So in the dream, I thought, this does not belong here, and this should not be here. Well, I think that many will say this could never happen in America. Will they ever be shocked? People are at ease in America. They've been protected, and they don't realize that's just by the grace of God. He can remove that anytime he wants to, and he wants to. In fact, he's behind this. He is sovereign. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and upon the earth, and no one restrains his hand, the Bible says. And she said, these things were on my left. And I say that things on our path just ahead are coming very quickly. They're coming soon. And we're looking at it on the horizon, but it's already coming in the door. I kept moving fast on this dirt path, and next I see on my right an alligator or crocodile. Yes, well, we think that that represents the beast, the dragon, the deep state beast, the swamp creature, seeking to devour through this pestilence and famine. And she went on to say, with its mouth ajar and its head pointing towards the same direction that I was moving. In other words, what you're going to see is that she's moving towards this plague. Okay. But the deep state is facing the plague too. They're not coming with the plague. Why is that? The deep state beast's attention is towards the coming plague. They started this plague, but it will come after them. This will lead to their Red Sea, as it was with Pharaoh, who thought to destroy those leaving Egypt, but was destroyed himself with his army. We've been told we're headed towards a Red Sea experience. A Sennacherib scenario. You know, Sennacherib came to destroy the bride, Jerusalem, after he'd already conquered the people of God. Let me tell you, if you think the people of God aren't conquered, read your Bible and then go out there and look. You'll find that they are conquered. They're nothing like what is depicted in the book of Acts as the church. They're conquered by the beast. And you just can't miss it. So, she said, I did not feel any fear. Well, we have Psalm 91 promises as an inoculation, folks. Read Psalm 91. It is specific to what we're talking about here. It's specific to this threat. And it specifically tells you who is going to suffer from this. And you're going to be shocked. It's going to be the people in their underground cities. It's going to be the people ruling. It's going to be the deep state leftists that are going to be hit the hardest with this. And the leftists in the church, the faction in the church and the faction in the government are going to be hit hard with this. God's going to bring them down. Here's a prophetic word that was given to Eve Brast in September of 2019, concerning the time of the reversal of fortunes, which we've been speaking about. The Lord has been revealing to us through dreams and visions a reversal of fortunes. So, concerning the time of the reversal of fortunes, Father said, quote, when you see the plague upon the disobedient begin in earnest. Now, this was back in September of 2019. Begin in earnest, then you will know the time is near. What time is near? The time we've been talking about, the reversal of fortunes. You can go and read that. It's one of our teachings that we've given. The reversal of fortunes is when the wicked reap what they have sown, and the righteous reap their good harvest. You know, the righteous have been persecuted by the wicked, by the faction in the government and the faction in the church. And the faction, of course, has been arrogant, disobedient, rebellious, and wicked. And it's time for their judgment, which we've been saying for quite a few years now, that this was coming. Notice that the plague upon the disobedient, quoting the word that was given to Eve back before there was a plague, is exactly what God has prophesied, calling it the reward of the wicked. So how did God prophesy it? Calling it the reward of the wicked. It's the same thing as the plague upon the disobedient. Well, let's read it. Psalm 91, 5 through 10. Thou shalt not be afraid. Listen, this is the most important thing. Do not be afraid. You who walk with the Lord, do not be afraid for the terror by night. Because let me tell you, fear is faith in the devil. He feeds on it. He tries to put it in you. Even if you know about the Passover lamb, even if you know that the Lord said he would put none of the diseases upon thee which he put upon the Egyptians. Notice that he put upon the Egyptians. Who is putting this on the Egyptians out there, folks? It is the Lord. Now, if you only see the devil as being coming against you because you're a good Christian, you're blind as a bat. Okay. This is the Lord chastening people. The devil just executes the curse. If you go to Deuteronomy 28, you will see that God sent the curse upon disobedient people. The devil just executes the curse. He only does what he's permitted to do, unforced to do. That's it. We're not to be afraid, because fear is faith in the devil, and it's faith in the curse which Jesus bore upon himself. He bore the curse for us. He became a curse for us. Do not be afraid. Fear will invite the curse, and it will permit it to invade your body. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence, there it is, that walketh in darkness. It is in darkness. People don't see it. It's everywhere, but you can't see it. It's on everything, but you can't see it. It's in the air, but you can't see it. It's in darkness. So he's telling you, don't be afraid of the pestilence. Now, do you have to obey the rules? Well, in China, if you don't obey the rules, they shoot you. Yeah. Well, we saw videos of police, all dressed up in the white garb with their masks and goggles on and their pistols, automatic pistols, walking down the street, killing people who were disobeying. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. This is devastating. It's destruction. It destroyed their economy, destroyed their food source, destroying their buildings. They can't touch things. They can't have any dogs, or they're killing their animals because the government has commanded them to, because the animals get the disease too, and they're able to pass it on to humans. So they think the animals are, not as important as humans, except for one thing: when you go to eat, you need animals. like PETA, yeah, people eating tasty animals. No. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. That's happening. And 10,000 at thy right hand. That's happening. But it shall not come nigh thee. There it is. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Notice, God is saying that the righteous will see the reward of the wicked. In other words, the plague on the disobedient, right? And let me say, there's probably as many wicked in the church. Babylon is filled with every foul spirit, right? There's plenty of wicked in the church, plenty of them. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. This is our confession that I told you in the 7 steps you have to make. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what does salvation mean? The Greek word soteria, it means all my needs supplied, like a little baby. God taking care of his people. The reward of the wicked. Thou shalt see the reward of the wicked. In other words, it's not people hiding out in their houses and not being able to see what's going on. This is people that are there. 1,000 by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. They're there. They know. They're going through this. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. There's that confession. Give that confession. The Lord is your refuge. You are hiding in the Lord. No, nothing can touch you if you are in him by faith and you speak it too. Repent of your sins. Trust that God took them away at the cross. Then confess your salvation. Confess your sin, then confess your salvation. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Okay, so there, that's the way you hide in God, right? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Praise God. No evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Why? Because he made, whoever this is that does this, makes the Most High their habitation by confessing that he is their refuge. Okay, so here's Eve Brass' prophetic word on February the 13th, a few days ago. He spoke to me this morning as I was walking through my front door and said, concerning the dream about avoiding distractions, now is not the time for distractions and ease. I should have said, quote, quote, now is not the time for distractions and ease, for it is an evil time, a time for lamentation. Well, I hope you are holding on to that, because God is able to use your faith. So this is a time for lamentations and intercessions for the people that you love, for the people that you're believing for, etc. A time for prayers and supplications. You must be of a sober mind. You must fulfill your priestly duties for my people. Draw close to me. Keep watch for the times just ahead. Just ahead. So we're back to our original dream here. As I looked up, coming out of the darkness on the path directly at me was a black horse. And Julie said, the black horse in Revelation 6, 5 and 6 came to my mind. It seemed like a normal size horse moving very fast towards me. Well, the black horse is fast approaching. In China, after the plague started, the store shelves were emptied, catching many people off guard. And this is why this warning has come from God to his people. This black horse was moving very fast towards Julie. Revelation 6 and 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. Well, the balance, of course, represents trade. And in this case, the high cost for buying scarce food is what it's talking about. Verse 6 goes on, and I heard, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a shilling, and three measures of barley for a shilling, and the oil and the wine hurt thou not. I tell you, what happened in China is an example. We've watched it happen, and you know it's coming here. It's going to be a month to 6 weeks later than it started, than those things happened there, you know. But we're following lockstep behind them. Store shelves will be emptied soon, just as it was in China. This coronavirus is infecting the animals that we eat for food, which will make what is left very expensive. So they're destroying the animals. And by the way, the government is commanding them to destroy the animals. And the government itself is destroying their farm animals. I saw a river in a video, a literal river of pigs, where dump trucks backed up to and dumped them in this thing that looked like a river of pigs going off in the distance. And then they dump fire in there. They had obviously already wet the floor with some kind of a combustible. And they poured fire in there, and the fire flashed down the whole ditch, you know. And then they started pushing the dirt in. Well, I guess they thought they were, you know, doing something to destroy at least the surface disease, and then they were going to bury the animals. And they did. They buried them alive. And I saw ducks turned loose by the owner, who was obviously raising them for food. He was commanded to destroy them, but he turned them loose. And there was, it was, I don't know how many, it was many, many, many thousands of them. And a farm of geese, all of them dead, because the people who were feeding them and taking care of them all had to leave because of the disease. And so they were all dead. Don't know how they were killed or whatever. Well, they just starved to death. I have no idea. But they're destroying their food. Is that going to happen here? I can guarantee it will. You know, it was as easy for these animals to catch it as the humans, and evidently they can pass it on. I saw pictures of them killing their own pets, or neighbors killing their pets for them, because the pets were a threat to them. And, you know, the average Chinese don't have guns, so they use clubs. Yeah. So you think that's heartless, but you're not thinking the way the natural man thinks. It's better to preserve one's life than to have a pet preserved to them, obviously. Infected people touch even the crops, and they pass on the virus. So naturally, what follows is famine and much death and hell for the wicked. Because the very next verse says this: "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come.' And I saw, and behold, a pale horse. And he that sat upon him, his name was Death. And Hades followed with him." Death and Hades follows very naturally the black horse. We can see that already. "And there was given unto them authority over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth." Now we notice that the wild beasts of the earth can also be infected with this and pass it on to humans. So, am I saying it is the time of these? No, I'm not. I do believe the man-child is very close. He is the first judgment there in Revelation 6. And then war, or he'll take peace from men, you know, and then these judgments here. Okay, so I'm not saying that these have happened now, but we can also, if you just look back at China, you can see that this has happened there. Is this going to cover the earth? Yes, I believe it will. And I believe that this coronavirus will hit the left coast where Julie lives. God picked the place, you know, that was there on the very left coast. And I believe it will hit there quicker than the majority of the nation. And store shelves will be emptied, just as it is in China. So get plenty of non-perishable food and get some water. Ask God if you should escape the left coast, if you happen to be there. Or sanctuary cities, if you're in the leftist cities. Ask God about that too, because they're going to get hit hard. If the Lord so wills, he could tell you to escape that before the quarantines close in. You ask God. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you, ask God. Make sure you're in the will of God. And I'll tell you in a minute why it could be very much in the will of God for you to be there even. So, he can tell you. But before the virus spreads and the quarantines close in, would be about the only time you'll get out of there. So, now, we're back to Julie's revelation here. She said, I thought the black horse could hit me because there was not enough room for it and me on the same path, and I could not move off of the path. Well, what does this mean? It means definitely we will face this. She was being faced down by this black horse coming swiftly in her direction. Swiftly means it's not far off. I've said, I bet you, at the end of the first week of March to the end of the second week of March, we're probably going to be in trouble. Trouble that cannot be put away, and that at this time everybody will have to be facing it and saying, oh yes, this is coming, this is happening, and so on. Right now, they're not paying a lot of attention. And a lot of religious people aren't paying a lot of attention either, because they've not been taught that all those gifts that God gives in the Bible are still true, including dreams and visions and prophecies and word of knowledge and word of wisdom and so on and so forth. They all are still alive and well today. But we will face this. She couldn't get off the path. And I watched, listen to this now, and I watched as it went right through me, causing no harm. Well, this is just as God has said for those abiding in the secret place of the Most High, who is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. All of our blessings are in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Where's heavenly places? In Christ, abiding in Jesus, who is the Word of God. If you have not paid any attention to the Word of God, you're one of those disobedient people. Now, you can repent and begin to walk rightly and commit to being a disciple of Jesus, a learner and a follower of Him, and not just someone who claims to be a Christian. Because the multitude of those are not. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. To abide in Jesus Christ, you're abiding in the Word of God. So let's see what God said about this. Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It is a secret place. Only those abiding in Jesus and obedient to the Word are in that secret place. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Pretty safe place, wouldn't you say? And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My God, in whom I trust. Do you confess that you trust in the Lord? Some people have accepted Jesus. They made a confession at one time, and they haven't made much of a confession since then, maybe. That's the problem, because when you read the Word of God, you're constantly supposed to be confessing the Word of God and the promises of God. Many people have basically been inoculated from the promises of God by their preachers and their backslidden religious institutions. But they're still true today, as many people can confirm by their own witness and their own experiences. They're still true today. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. She stayed in the path. She couldn't get out of the path. God's directing every one of us in a path. She couldn't get out of the path. She was going to run headlong into this black horse. And she did. But he says here, for he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now we knew who set this snare. And from the deadly pestilence. And from the deadly pestilence. This is God's promise. He will cover thee with his pinions. And under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. See, we have protection in Jesus Christ. His truth is a shield and a buckler. We have protection in him. Thou shalt not be afraid. There's that warning. For the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. But only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. This is designed to take out the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Thou art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. This is the word of the Lord. And you know, the Lord's going to stand behind his word. He's going to stand behind what Jesus did for you. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree. You see, you're justified by faith in believing this. You're accounted righteous by faith. Why are you just accounted righteous? Hey, it's pretty good. It's a good deal. You are accounted righteous because you believe he took away your sins. Now, that's not why you walk in willful disobedience, but failure is something God understands and he forgives. And ignorance he understands and forgives. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He understands. But willful disobedience, no, he doesn't put up with that no more than a parent should, any parent should. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. And that's what we're talking about today. That's why this is coming. So, in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness. Yes, you can do this, because God said so. And by whose stripes you were healed. You don't need to cry to God to heal you. You need to accept what his covenant says. This is what it says. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, the apostates who don't believe in anything supernatural, none of the gifts of the Spirit or anything or healing or deliverance, that all passed away. But they're massively ignorant because the testimonies of jillions of people out there are contrary to that. How many people have been healed by this verse right here, by whose stripes you will heal? I can't imagine. I've been healed by it all my Christian life. But they still deny it. They've got their head in the sand. They still deny it. So, be it unto you according to your faith, Jesus said. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you, he said. He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. That was God's people. They didn't believe. So people that believe that doctrine, they're unbelievers. These signs will accompany them that believe. Jesus has a right to tell us who is a believer. And it does say there that they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. Yeah, Jesus said who a believer was. So these people are not believers. And that's not a church. If they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such turn away, the Lord said. Right? And we know that God is true to this. Jesus healed them all. He healed them all. It said it over and over. And his disciples did the same thing, and they healed them all. Psalm 103:3-4 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." All you got to do is confess them. Confess your iniquities to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. He will. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Who healeth all thy diseases. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Is this ever a destruction? Nothing like this has ever hit the United States. And somewhere mixed in with this, there's going to be some great earthquakes. And in the midst of that, the man-child ministry will begin. It will be anointed. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." God is a loving kindness God. He has tender mercy towards anyone who turns toward him. And it has to be that way because people are on their way to hell, as we just read. The wicked are on their way to hell. They die without God, without knowing God, without giving in to the witnesses of the people around them who know God. They're going to hell. Now, here it is, Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read you 3-15. "Now, the things that happen unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Now, Paul said that to Christians, to Gentile Christians. These things were written for our sake. That the fact that they happen with the Old Testament church is just showing you that it's a type and a shadow of what is to come. And as Ecclesiastes says very plainly, the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. The fact is, these are all parables. They need to be interpreted according to the light of the New Testament, but they still have awesome promises. Exodus 12:3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." Who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Jesus Christ. "According to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household." Praise God, you know. Yep. The lamb is for your whole household. Claim it and believe it. Verse 4, "And if the household be too little for a lamb, then shall he and his neighbor next unto his house take one according to their number of the souls, according to every man's eating. You shall make your count for the lamb." So God is very practical. There are some poor people, and he took care of that. And we know the lamb who was sacrificed in this case represents Jesus Christ. As 1 Corinthians chapter 5 clearly says, that he's our Passover lamb and he's already been sacrificed. It's not a matter of you having to go out and kill a lamb. He's already been sacrificed. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old." A year, let me say, represents death, burial, and resurrection, because every year goes through those stages, right? Spring just happens to be resurrection. And we know in the spring there's a Passover. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old, is without blemish because Christ did not sin. He did good. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at even. And they shall take of the blood and put it upon the two side posts and upon the lintel, upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, houses here represents households. It represents people. On the side posts is your entrance and your exit, right? You go in and you go out under the blood. Do you do that? Do you go in and out? It's a common statement used among the Jews, you know. Do you go in and out under the blood? Meaning, do you go everywhere underneath the blood? How do you apply the blood? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And it's the cleansing blood that he does that with. Remember, it is the blood of our parents that brought us Adamic nature and the curse. It's flowing in our veins. But we have a spiritual transfusion here because we have a new father. We've been adopted, a new father and new blood. That new blood represents, the Bible says, Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So we've inherited our new father's blood. Right? And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Jesus said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And he was what? The Word made flesh. So he's saying to eat the Word, consume it, so that it goes into you and recreates in you the life of God. He said, except you eat my body and drink my blood. What the life of the flesh is in the blood, right? So we partake of these. And verse 8 says, and they shall eat it, eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Why is it in some ways bitter to eat the Word of God? Because the Word of God is the life of the new man, and it puts to death the life of the old man. You know, as you obey the new man who is in obedience to Christ, the old man is crucified. If you obey the old man, the new man is crucified. It's very simple. You can have whatever you want. Now there's a possibility, if you believe in Jesus Christ, to have the old man crucified and live the new life, the life of the blood of the one who shed it. He said, eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it with fire, its head with its legs, and the inwards thereof. This is the Passover that we're talking about. And it's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing anymore. As we know, 1 Corinthians 5 says that the Lord has already been sacrificed. He is our Passover lamb. And he has given us his life. He's taken our life and nailed it to the cross, and he's given us his life. That's called reconciliation. It means an exchange. He gave this exchange. How much of the life of Christ do you want? How much of your life are you willing to give up? If you lose your life, you'll gain your life. That's what Jesus said. So people that don't want to obey don't want to give up their old life. And they make doctrines where they don't have to obey. But then they don't bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, you're cast forth into outer darkness, the Bible says. So they had to eat the whole lamb, its head, its legs, its inwards. The head, of course, is the mind of Christ. The legs is the walk of Christ. If anybody says that they abide in him, let them walk as he walked. the walk of Christ, and the inwards, of course, the heart of Christ. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. But that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. In other words, if you don't get it, the rest of it will be wasted. You can partake of Christ and it won't be wasted. You can waste your time in religion and it can be wasted. You can waste your time disobedient to the Word of God and the New Covenant and it will be wasted. You will not bear fruit from that. All of the words of God were put there in order for us to walk in His steps. And I'm talking New Covenant. The Old Covenant, again, is a type and a shadow of the New Covenant. But it's not the New Covenant. The New Covenant is the New Covenant, the one He made with you. Okay? But we can learn a lot from the Old, as we're learning right here, you see. And thus shall you eat it, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, meaning ready to leave Egypt, right? I mean, when you eat the Word of God, get ready to leave. If you don't act on the Word of God, you didn't believe it in the first place. Faith without works is dead. So you eat it, your shoes are on your feet, you're ready to walk out of town, right? And your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. Eat it in haste. Quickly go to the New Testament and begin obeying Jesus and tell Him that you want to be accounted righteous through your faith that Jesus took away your sins. He bore your curse, by whose stripes you were healed. Tell Him you now believe the truth. The truth is the shield and the buckler in Psalm 91, right? You now believe that you repent of believing a lie. You now believe the truth. You can have a Passover. The destroying angel, the destroyer, you know, passed over the Israelites' houses where the blood was, their household where the blood was, and it struck the Egyptians. For I will go through the land of Egypt. Who's going? I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Who is the firstborn? The firstborn is the flesh, right? Your flesh is born first before you're born again, right? Smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. So, I mean, this disease here, it's smiting both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, everything that they trust in is going to fail them. How many times have we heard in videos where the Chinese said, don't trust the government? They say that to each other all the time. Don't trust the government. They know they lie, and they know they can't do anything to help them, and they're not really all that interested. The Chinese, in fact, want to depopulate themselves. So why do they not trust their government? And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who's going to pass over? The Lord. I thought the destroyer was going to pass over. The Lord's got the destroyer on his chain. I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy. Look, who is in control of the destroyer? There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So he has absolute control over this. And it was written by the Egyptians in their history that this actually happened. The firstborn. Now, God is in such control over plagues that the firstborn in every Egyptian house was killed by the plague. That's how much control God has. And the Egyptians admitted this. They feared the God of Moses. They feared the God of Israel. They feared him. In fact, they tried to heap upon them gold and silver and such gifts, you know, to get favor from their God. They believed. Yes, they did. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So, now how do we keep it in the New Testament? Well, we keep it by eating the Lamb, who is what? Called the Word of God. Eat the Word of God. All of it. Don't leave any of it until the morning or it'll be wasted. Right? 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Remember what Jesus said. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he also said, beware of the leaven of Herod. Right? Meaning political or religious. Beware of the leaven. The leaven is what was put into the bread to make it tasty to the flesh, to make it acceptable to the flesh. That's what religion does. They leaven everything. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Get rid of it. Throw out all the religious garbage. Sit down and read your New Testament. Read it and read it and read it. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You know why? Because Jesus was the sower. He went forth to sow the seed, and the seed was the word of God, and he sowed it into men's hearts until it brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you change the seed, you change the fruit. There is only one Word of God. The Word of God is supernatural. It brings forth the life of Jesus. Leaven is changing the bread, the Word of God. He was the bread of life that came down out of heaven that gave life to the world, the Bible says. He was the manna in the wilderness, the bread. The bread is known as the Word of God. Jesus pronounces in the last four verses of the book. If you add to his words, he will add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And if you take away from the words of this book, he will take your place out of the tree of life, contrary to the once saved, always saved liars. And he says, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Once again, that's not once saved, always saved either. Cut off. And he promised in Exodus 15 and 26. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, you don't learn it all at once. God knows that. And he gives allowances for ignorance. But you need to study it in order to let the Lord sow that in your heart in order to bear the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. You need to study the Word of God. Also, the Word of God is what inoculates people from plagues. If you eat the Word of God, there won't be any plague for you. He said, there shall be no plague upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, if you're disobedient, as we just saw, well, that's what the plague is here for. God is going to cleanse his people of the leaven. He's going to remove the leaven. What did he do, by the way, with the tares? He waited until the end of the time of the harvest, and he sent forth his angels to gather up the tares, to bind them into bundles, to burn them. And then the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. See, he got the leaven out. He is cleansing his body. He's going to do it with this pest, with this this curse. He uses many judgments like that. So he says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. Notice it's God. He's the one you have to fear, not the devil. It's God. Which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Ain't God good? So, I hope this is helping to prepare you. I hope you'll pay attention, get some food in your house, and most of all, go to God, get in His Word, repent of all sin, so you can have boldness before God, because you need bold faith before God to go through this thing when you're faced with people dying on your right and on your left, as Psalm 91 talks about, right? So, Father, we praise you. We thank you for the provision of Jesus Christ for us. And we love you and we appreciate you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your help every day, Lord.